Matt and others are just passing out Bibles. We're going to just take a few moments now to unpack and explore a little bit of the story of the original first Pentecost Sunday. We've been in a series looking at the Sermon on the Mount, one of Jesus' sermons in Matthew's Gospel, and we're going to pick that up again next week. We're going to just pause in that this week, and we're going to look at the last little part of the Apostle Peter's sermon, his message on the first Pentecost when God poured out his Spirit on Jerusalem. And as I was hearing all the hubbub and seeing all these people from so many different nationalities here this morning, and it's always such a joy to have in this congregation so many people from different nationalities, there was something of like that in Jerusalem as God was at work bringing people from all over the place. And it's amazing the way God's Spirit does that. And I imagine there was quite a hubbub in the city, just like there was just then. And Peter stands up and he says very boldly to the crowd, "Listen to this." And then he gives this amazing message, which concludes in verse 36 with these words. This is where we're going to pick up the message. And he says this: "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah," or Christ, same word, "both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.' And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." Wow. Let's pray. God, please, would you keep moving by your Spirit? We acknowledge your presence, and we, God, pray you'd help me and help us, that you would be speaking to us and helping us understand your word. Help us see Jesus more clearly. Help us understand more about your Spirit. For we ask in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. On that first Pentecost Sunday, on the beginning of the day, the church was actually in hiding. They'd been hiding for about the 50 days since Jesus had died. Even though they'd seen him rise again, they knew that they had to wait, and there was this kind of period, a bit like a babe in a womb, hidden. But then Pentecost came, and the Spirit is poured out, and this church that was in hiding kind of wakes up and comes to life, and there's breath and power and anointing, and the world's never been the same since. Pentecost Sunday really is like the birthday of the church. It's the moment when God's Spirit came. And just like how that kind of first breath as a child is born, and they kind of come into the world, and they take in sort of the breath, and they breathe out. That happened with the church. The Spirit of God, the breath of God, came in and filled them and gave them voice. And they spoke, and it worked. The Spirit of God was at work in people's lives as they heard and respond. And I want to say, all around this world, God's Spirit since then has been working. And today we're kind of celebrating and marking a moment, but it's actually in the church now, this time we live in, every day is like Pentecost Sunday. The Spirit is a spirit that is at work all through the world, all across the world, each day, every day since that moment. In fact, John Stott, a famous Bible commentator and writer, he says this. He says, without the Holy Spirit, Christian discipleship, that word means kind of following Jesus, would be inconceivable, even impossible. There can be no life without the life giver. No understanding without the Spirit of truth. No fellowship without the unity of the Spirit. No Christ-likeness of character apart from His fruit. And no effective witness without His power. As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead. A lot of that in there reminded me of the prayer that Sean prayed at the early part of our service. Come, Holy Spirit, the Spirit that brings so much to us. Holland Road, as a church, we couldn't do anything of power in Christ that brings life and transformation without the Spirit. We are utterly dependent on Him. And Holland Road, we need more of God's Spirit. If you've been here many years, I praise God for all that God's done. But I'm here this morning and in this past week as I've been preparing this and saying, God, would you please give us more of your Spirit? I want more of your Spirit at work in my life. And maybe you're here as a visitor. Maybe you're here and you've never been into a church before. And I want to say this gift of the Spirit is the most wonderful gift. It's a Spirit that guides us. And helps us and strengthens us. I don't know how you find life. I don't know what struggles you have, but I imagine all of us know what it is to have struggles, whether that's in a workplace or maybe you're a parent and the challenges of parenting or marriage and trying to make that work well or with your neighbors or your friends. And God's Spirit helps us and equips us and enables us with the power of God. Do you want more of God's Spirit? Do you want to know something of this gift of the Spirit? Last night I was at an event which was just marking a work that has been going on across different churches and in schools and in the streets in our city, the work of the Brighton and Hove City Mission, been going along for 170 years, that work, and they were just pausing and celebrating, and I heard a story there. A man called Carl spoke about some work that he had been doing on an estate, a council estate in Essex. And he'd gone, as I've sometimes done over the years, just inviting people from the community to come and just say, hey, you'd be welcome to come and join us for this event. I did that bit this week with a few folks just saying, hey, look, we've got this event going on, these baptisms at the church. You'd be welcome to come join us, come celebrate with us. Anyway, he was walking along this street, knocked on a door just to invite the person there. And it was number 5. Knocked on the door. This lady opened the door and she looked super scary. I mean, like, really, really cross. And he only had a brief chance to say what he was there for, and she hurled abuse. It was kind of vicious. It was pretty filthy language, and it just kind of poured out. And he was like, okay, and closed the door, and they went on. And then he just felt a nudge. Go back. Knock again. It's like, what, Lord? Really? Really? And the person who was with him, like, he said, I think we should go back. What? So he goes back. Knocks on the door. Same lady opens it. And again, pours out abuse and tirade of filthy language and what are you doing here? Didn't you hear me before? Blah, blah, blah. And he walks on. 2 weeks later, kind of wondering, what was all that about, Lord? He gets the same nudge, walking down the same street. Go and knock on number 5 again. What, really, Lord? He goes and knocks on number 5. The lady opens the door. Same lady. Still looks scary. But this time she says, hey, do you want to come in for a cup of tea? He's like, he comes in, it's a mess. He said he struck the kid in the corner,
young kid rolling a spliff. He said, could I have tea? She said, could I have it with sugar? She went, what? Sugar? It's terribly bad for you. And he was like, well, what about that? And then she said, I hoped you'd come back. You see, when you knocked the first time, I had a pile of pills and vodka and I was ready to take my own life because I'd been so badly abused when I was younger and I just couldn't make life work. And when you knocked, I was furious for you interrupting me. But after you'd knocked that first time, I thought, well, maybe there is a God. Never prayed before, ever. So I prayed my first prayer. Said, Lord, if you don't want me to take my life, may you knock again. He said, when you knocked the second time, I was still furious. But I knew at that moment that I wasn't going to take my life. And so I want to know, why did you knock a second time? And this lady, she found that there was hope in Jesus Christ. She found that her life could be transformed, that she could become part of this community. She found that actually there was a family who could love her, the church. She became the local lollipop lady. She used to tell everyone, really fierce looking, you've got to go to church. So well done for being here. And I want to say this. I don't know whether you're kind of quite going for it for God and you want to be in step with him and you're like my friend Carl who's there trying to tell people. And if you're like that, I just want to say, don't you want more of God to be able to just be sensitive to those things that you think might think, why do I need to do that? But you do it anyway. And you never know sometimes the impact that it can make in people's lives. But maybe you're bit more like that woman. Maybe no one here knows it. Or maybe you're somewhere in between and you think, God, I've never really even prayed. I don't even know if you're there, but I'm here this morning, God, and boy, I could do with some help. God, have you got something for me this morning? And I want to say God is a God who would love to give more of his spirit or his spirit for the first time to you this morning. And you might then think, well how, David? How do I discover and know more of that life-giving power of the Spirit in my life? How do I get to a place where I can see some of that change and transformation? And this is the surprising journey that Peter, in his message, he tells the people there on Jerusalem on that first Pentecost Sunday. He said there's a surprising response to this message, and it's there very clearly in verse 38 and 39. He says, look, when they say, what should we do? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk briefly just about these two simple phrases, repent and be baptized. So let's talk first about repent. This is a radical new way of thinking. But you might be thinking, but David, repent sounds like a really old, kind of outdated word. Really? Do we still need to talk about things like repent? I mean, that sounds very uncool. Who is anyone? Peter or me or Jesus? Who is anyone to really say to someone else, repent, which means change. Change your thinking. Is that really necessary? Can't we kind of do away with that? Can't we kind of just go on with the service? Or, you know, is there a need for change? And as I was thinking about this, I realized that we have a real problem in our society with this word and with people who would say it. And some people, even in parts of the church in the UK, would say we should stop telling people they need to repent. But I was thinking about this. I was thinking, that's odd. Because actually, in a place like Brighton, there are some really loud voices calling for people in society to repent and change their thinking. And actually, by and large, we think that's a good thing. The voices I'm particularly thinking about, I was speaking about last week, is the voices that challenge us on issues like climate change. The climate change activists are saying to us, Guys, we need to repent. We need to change our thinking. We need to have a radical new thinking about the reality of what our consequence of the consequences of our actions on the environment. They might not use exactly the word repent, but what they're calling for is a repentance in society. A change. A new way of thinking. And I was thinking, well, what is it about that that we've kind of think, there's something there that we can see is important. And I'll tell you what it is. It's that we're coming to the realization that there's a connection between our actions and the brokenness in our world environmentally. And there's actually good facts to support it. And so when we're faced with that, we actually go, oh, do you know what? I think we do need to change. And I was thinking about this, and I just want to just highlight that the Bible is very clear that our actions, not just greed and consumerism, have consequences far bigger than we often think. They lead to brokenness in all kinds of ways, and that's true of our actions, whether they're conscious or unconsciously done, whether we meant to do harm or we don't. That still, when we do the wrong things, it does cause things to get broken. And when we realize that things we've done, whether consciously or unconsciously, break things and break others and cost things, we can have one of these moments a bit like the people on Pentecost Day where they go, oh no, what have I done? They were cut to the heart. Because the Spirit, who's the Spirit who reveals things, revealed something to them, and they realized, oh no, what have I done? I imagine all of us here have had moments over the years, maybe even over this week, where we've gone, oh no, what have I done? So I was thinking about this. One particularly came to my mind from when I was in my gap year, and this was quite a long time ago, but you'll see why it was such a kind of, oh no, what have I done? I was working for a materials testing company. I was training as an engineer, and they would let me be involved in the testing of little bits of aircraft engines. They would cut up the aircraft engines and test them to see how many cycles of strain they could take before they broke. Only Gubbins here, who wasn't that experienced, took one of these specimens, and before we had a chance to test it, I broke it. Just didn't realize you had to treat it carefully. You know why it was such an oh no moment? Because they had to cut up another aircraft engine to get another piece. Those things cost tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of pounds. The blades that were usually... I cost that company hundreds and thousands of pounds. They didn't want me to have a job there after that. I'm like, oh no, what have I done? I didn't mean to do it. But I broke something. And somebody had to pay. And I couldn't pay. But I had to come clean. I had to tell my boss. They had to tell Rolls-Royce Engines. And I don't know who ended up footing the bill in the end, but somebody did for my mistake. And you know, guys, when we do things wrong, and there is such a thing as wrong things to do, when we do things wrong, not just in the workplace, but in our relationships, when not just things get broken, but when people get broken, the cost to fix that is immense. And then the question is, who's going to pay? And the wonderful thing about this Pentecost message is that Peter, who had tried to pretend he didn't know Jesus when Jesus was being crucified, the Spirit gives him courage to say, Jesus is the answer. The Spirit gives him a boldness to say, look, this Jesus who 50 days ago, you kind of crucified in Jerusalem. Look at verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. He is the one. He is the Messiah, or the Christ is the Savior, the Deliverer who was going to come and make all things right and new and peace and bring forgiveness and rescue and salvation. And you might have thought 50 days ago that you could just dismiss him and that it maybe is a bit of trouble, even a bit dangerous. And there are definitely people in our city who think you can easily dismiss Jesus. And that actually Jesus is a bit dangerous if you talk about him, like we should get rid of that. And Peter says, no, you're very mistaken. This Jesus is Lord and Christ. Lord and Christ. Lord is like God. He's God. This Jesus is God. He's massive. He like made everything. Have you been watching any of the Planets program on BBC? The scale of it, the sort of sense, and these are just planets. They're not even the star and the thing, but you know, 100 million kilometers that way you get to, I don't know if it's exactly that way, but you get to Venus and then Mars, and the scale is, it just boggles the mind. Jesus, God, who made the stars and the planets, he came to earth to die for my sin and your sin, to pay not just for my broken bit of metal, but for far worse than that, for the things that I've done wrong that have hurt people. The things that I've done when I've turned my back on this big God and thought I knew better than him how to run my life. And Jesus came and he's come and said, David, I died for you. I rose again. Hey, stop going that way, your own way, and start following me. Repent. You need a radical new thinking about Jesus above all else. Have you repented? Have you had that radical new way of thinking? Do you still think your way is better than his? He knows so much better than you. And then there's this amazing call. Repent and be baptized. Baptism is a radical new allegiance to Jesus Christ. When people are baptized, they're baptized in the name of Jesus. They're baptized saying, look, I want to be identified with Jesus' death and resurrection. I want to say I'm on his team now. I'm not going my own way or just doing what I want. I'm on his team. I don't know if you picked up the story this weekend of Eden Hazard. Footballer for Chelsea. Sorry if there are any Chelsea supporters here and you don't know this news, but Real Madrid have paid 100 million euros for Eden Hazard. I just wondered, person next to you, do you think Eden Hazard is worth 100 million euros? You might not know anything about him, but just go on. Person next to you, what do you think? Is he worth 100 million euros? Okay, don't know what you think. Now I want you to look at the other person and think about your own life. Let me ask you this. How much do you think you are worth, and how much do you think the person you've just spoken to is worth? Just don't say anything. Just look at them. Let me tell you this. You are worth far more than 100 million euros. You are worth far more than 100 million euros. You are so, so precious that God gave his one and only Son, Jesus the Lord, to die for you so that you could have life and not death. So that you wouldn't have to pay on your own the penalty for your sin or my sin, but that we would have life. Jesus came and gave his life. That is how precious you and I are. But you see, when someone's paid and you then say, right, I'm going to join their team, there's some things that happen. Eden Hazard needs to get rid of that Chelsea shirt and he needs to get a Real Madrid shirt, because that's the sign, the symbol that he's on a new team. And baptism is like that public new allegiance, saying, no, I'm not going the world's way or my way. I'm now going Jesus' way. Have you got the t-shirt? Have you been baptized? But you see, when you get the t-shirt, it would be no good if he was like then, oh great, I've got the t-shirt now, and Chelsea come over to play Real Madrid, and he's like, oh great, let's run with my old friends, and might have a kind of Real Madrid t-shirt on, but now I'm playing for Chelsea again. No, no, no. Because you've got to repent as well as be baptized, and the repentance is not just a once thing, it's the continued living of a life that says, each day, I'm not going my way, or the world's way, I'm going Jesus' way. I'm playing for his team now. And being baptized is being able to say, like these two wonderful people today have said, as we've asked them those questions, saying, yeah, no, I want to say I want to go Jesus' way now. I want to go public with that. I want to get baptized, and as it were, say, look, I've got the t-shirt. And I want to ask this morning, I don't know if you look back with me, it's Acts chapter 2. Peter replied to them all as they were cut to the heart and said, God, what have we done? We've misthought who Jesus is. They say, what should we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you. He calls all of them to respond. And I want to say this morning, all of us need to repent. We need to, even from things maybe this weekend or things you've got in your head when thinking, I'm hoping I get a chance to do that thing that I know Jesus wouldn't be pleased with, but I'd quite like to do. No, go Jesus' way. And all of us need to be baptized. That's the appropriate response to knowing that Jesus is Lord. Have you been baptized? If you have this morning, then as you see these folks get baptized, remember what t-shirt you've got on. Remember that you are publicly known as someone who said, I'm following Jesus. And just come back to your baptism vows and say, am I doing it? Am I putting Jesus first? And if you've not been baptized and you're here this morning and yet you want to repent, you want to say, no, I want to go Jesus' way. Maybe you have repented. I want to ask, well, why haven't you been baptized? Baptism is this place where we get baptized for the forgiveness of sins. It's this picture of that amazing washing, of having the slate wiped clean, of being able to say, look, this is what Jesus has done for me. And this forgiveness and gift of the Spirit go hand in hand. He cleans the inside and he fills us with his Spirit. Fill of a new life and a fresh freedom to live for him. A freedom from both kind of guilt and shame, but a freedom now to actually live in a way with the power of the Spirit that God wants us to. And there are people who've asked to be baptized in a month's time, July. You could join them. But on Pentecost Sunday, they didn't actually wait. They responded with baptism. And I want to give an opportunity. So in a moment, the children come back in and we have the baptisms, that an opportunity for you to do two things. One is to come and say to Sean or I, hey, I'd like to get baptized even today. We can talk with you whether it's best to do it today or a month's time. If you've never been baptized before, you've only ever been kind of christened as a baby, and you could answer those four questions, then we'd love to baptize you. If you're over 18 and this is something you say, God, I want to do, and if you're under 18, come and talk to us. We'd love to talk it through and just not rush it. And yet, I want to say that sometimes people think, well, I haven't got any clothes. And that's a realistic thing. I don't hear anyone saying that in Acts 2, but we did think of that, and we actually have some clothes. Spare clothes. Lots of them, in fact, out the back. And there's places out here where you can change, and you could then just come and say, do you know what? On this Pentecost Sunday, I'm going to be baptized. But all of us, above all else, is that need for us to repent. And so I'm going to ask the band just to come forward. I'm going to ask us to stand if you're able. And there's a simple prayer on the screen here, which I'd love to pray with you and for you if you're able. I'm just going to come down onto the steps down here and just give you a moment as you prepare. And I just wonder if in this moment now we could pray this. You might have prayed something like this many times. You might be praying this for the first time. But in your heart, would you echo this prayer? And let's invite Jesus to be our Lord and to fill us with his Spirit. Let's turn to him. Lord Jesus, I believe you are Lord and Messiah. I repent of my sin. You might just need in this moment to turn again. Let's be those people who run from sin and run to Jesus. I turn to you and want to follow you. Please forgive me and fill me with your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just as the band plays, we're going to have time where you can just posture yourself. You might even want to open up your hands in front of you and just say, God, I just want more of your Spirit. I find it so helpful just to do that. Just put your hands open like you're receiving a gift. Just say, Lord Jesus, I want more of your Spirit. And if you want to be baptized, Sean and I just here at the front, we'd love to talk to you. Just as we worship, come move, come talk to us. Lord, come, Holy Spirit, we pray in your wonderful name. Amen.